There are four readings today under the heading of Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and Supplication. The first one is Adoration, Psalm 101-5. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. The second heading is Confession, 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. The next one is Thanksgiving, Philippians 4:4-7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The last heading is Supplication, Ephesians 6, verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Amen.
We now come to not a sermon exactly, but really some thoughts on Acts. And as you can see on the screen there, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Bit of a long word, a request. So I'm just going to read some ideas out, which I've taken from various bits of research in the Bible, and that wonderful thing called the internet. And then after each section, we're just going to have a time of prayer. Just open prayer where you can pray silently or out loud, and then we'll move on to the next one as we go through. So when we start, we come before the Lord in adoration. Here's a couple of examples. Adoration is defined as praising God for who God is. And we praise the very nature of God, reminding ourselves that the Father is the most holy, almighty creator of the universe. There is no one bigger. There was no one before. There'll be no one after. God is. In the beginning, the Word was God, and the Word was with God. So what is the purpose of adoration? Well, put simply, adoration is a sign of devotion to worship and worship of Jesus Christ. We love him. He loves us more, but we want to love him. And what is the importance of adoration in the Bible? Well, adoration reminds us of the incredible blessing we have in Christ's forgiveness of sins. Also, the credible blessing because of eternal life and a relationship with the living God. God is alive. We know that because he touches us through the Holy Spirit in our everyday thoughts, our everyday actions, our everyday breath. When we adore God, we are filled with gratitude for all that he has done for us. Some of us may have grown up with the phrase of remember the attitude of gratitude. And this gratitude overflows into joy and peace in our daily lives. So do we have joy and peace every single day? Well, we might have some. Most of us face the drudgery of complaint, of repetition, of boredom either. But actually within just doing the daily grindstone, that is where you can find God. He's given you a job, get on and do it. How does adoration bring us closer to God? Spending time in adoration draws us into an intimacy with Jesus. And as we get closer to him, he gives us the wisdom and the strength to serve his church and the people he has placed in our lives. So we might wake up in the morning and randomly go out and think, who on earth am I going to bump into today? There are a couple of doctors in this room, and I bet you they haven't got a clue who's going to walk in to see them in their patient's room. But the people who walk into their surgeries or our lives are not by accident. It is ordained by God that he's going to bring people into your life. That phone call you've got to make to that subcontractor, never spoken to him or her before. You're reaching out as a Christian. You represent God. You're having a conversation. How will your life change when you go to adoration? Adoration allows you to pray alone, with just you and Jesus. Surrounding yourself with Jesus gives you the graces to feel his love for you, which endures throughout your encounters with others. Knowing that you have a source from which to draw divine, unconditional love can help you better love others in return. And believe it or not, that also applies when you're absolutely irritated with your nearest and dearest. Sorry, dear. I promise to be a better husband. What do you say during adoration? An example of adoration prayer is, I adore you, Jesus, true God and true man, present in the Holy Eucharist, kneeling before you and united in spirit with all the faithful on earth and all the saints in heaven. Doesn't get much bigger than that. In gratitude for such a great blessing, I love you with all my heart. For you are worthy of all praise and adoration. So some words that you might use for adoration, opening prayer lines if you like. You are an awesome God and you love us so very much. Thank you for sending Jesus and calling us together to celebrate your work. Heavenly Father, your name is awesome. Oh God, you are unique. God of light and truth, our Father, and so on. So in a few moments of prayer silently or out loud, here are a few ideas that you may wish to use as a starter for prayer, or anything else that the Lord is prompting you to say. You don't have to say it out loud, but if you want to say it out loud, we have a few minutes to do so before we move on. Moving on to the next letter in Acts, confession. Simply, confession is about acknowledgement of one's sin to God. Sins can be of commission, you've done something wrong, or omission, you should have done something but you didn't. Why does God want us to confess our sins? God's instruction, note it's an instruction, to confess our sins is a sign of our ongoing relationship and a preserving agreement with God that our sin is grievous and we want to forsake it. So why is confession so powerful? Confession leads to repentance, saying sorry. After we confess our sins, we're called to repent. So we're called to name what the sin is, and then we're called to say sorry about it. Repentance helps us to take accountability, take ownership for our actions before God, and reminds us of our dependence on him. What are the three things for confession? In short, to prepare for a good confession, I'm not sure there's such a thing as a bad confession, but there we go. For a good confession, we need an examination of our conscience. This comes back to the accountability. Well, it's not my problem. Didn't do anything wrong. Really? Examination of our conscience, our sorrow, and a determination to avoid sin. In an examination of conscience, we invite God's loving presence through his Holy Spirit into our lives to show us the areas we need his forgiving and healing. I don't know about you, but I quite often try and ignore the fact that the light of Christ and the light of God is everywhere and I can't hide anything. But I have the odd little corner. You're not going there. No. I don't want you to look in there. No. God sees everything. From that, we can, with humble, broken, and contrite heart, accept correction and be truly sorry. Who likes getting told off? No one. Who needs, not necessarily telling off, but a guiding hand to say, no, you need to be going this way. All of us. How do we best prepare each morning to make sure that whilst we're going to be sinners, we are protected? Because we can put on the full armour of God, and we can therefore set forth determined not to sin again. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, shoes of the gospel, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit. What scripture is the prayer of confession? Psalm 32, 5 and 6. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and you did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions, sins, to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. Who can forgive sin? God. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may still be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. It's an opportunity. We are here, his creations. He wants a relationship. He knows when we basically foul up. But the opportunity to come back to him in a close, loving relationship through confession and saying sorry, so own up to it and then say sorry, is there all the time. And what does God do when you confess your sins? The Bible says if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins. And we are cleansed from all unrighteousness. I don't know what you conjure up in your mind of being cleansed. I know if I stand under a shower for about 10 minutes, I might feel a little bit clean. But to be totally cleansed, body, mind, and soul, incredible. So let's just have a few prayers on this, and I know Ian may want to share one or two things as well. Some ideas here for you to follow for our prayers of confession, again, out loud or privately. next one. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a way to express gratitude. We're back to that word again. Gratitude to God through worship, prayer, and praise. It's a way to acknowledge God's gifts, including creation, love, the fact that he sent his son, Jesus, Jesus' death and resurrection and an eternal life, and is a way to connect with God and recognize that we depend on it. So first of all, why is Thanksgiving so important to God? Answer, he wants it. What is the main expression of thanksgiving? Thanksgiving at its core is an expression of gratitude, a virtue that resonates deeply in the spiritual teachings. Gratitude is not merely a courteous acknowledgement of blessing. Is that all right? Yeah, well, I'll do. It's not that. It's a profound recognition of the divine benevolence that permeates every aspect of our lives. So what is the powerful teaching of thanksgiving? Well, gratitude helps us to trust God when we don't understand why. Although God hasn't promised to explain why we go through pain and hardship, he has promised to be with us and enable us to face it. Thanksgiving reminds us that we don't have to understand the situation, we just have to be obedient. And for most human beings, and particularly me, that's quite tough. When should we give thanks? Very simply, Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Notice that, all circumstances. So, last week, I was happy Arsenal won. Yesterday, I had a right bear with a sore head because Arsenal had lost. But I was still trying to give thanks through gritted teeth in all circumstances. Now, that's a slightly trite way of putting it, I accept that. But the point is, you need to give thanks in all circumstances. The Lord wants to be thanked for his providence and sovereignty. Jesus wants to be thanked for taking our sin and making us clean. The Spirit wants to be thanked for his guidance and comfort. The triune Lord we have here. What happens if we don't give thanks to God? Failing to glorify God and give thanks not only leads to idolatry, but to degenerate living. It begins with unthankfulness and indifference in the results, in the lowering of our standards. So if we're not close to God, we drift off our own ways. What is the Bible verse about thanksgiving? Psalm 95. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. Comes back to what we were saying at the beginning, adoration. There is none other. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are also his. So here we have a few Bible verses about thanksgiving that may prompt you for a discussion. And when I say discussion, I mean a prayer, a conversation with God. Is supplication. So supplication is a humble request or petition to God. In our request or supplication, we must be wise in asking to ask God for the things that will truly enrich our lives, like wisdom, strength, health, and love. Not material things, but the things that will help us live in our life. So, what is the message of supplication? From its Latin translation, first of all, who did Latin at school? Three of us did. The Latin translation of supplicare, meaning to plead humbly. Supplication can also be summarised as, I say, a request to God. In our request, we must, as I've just said, be wise to ask God for the things that truly enrich our lives. So what is a simple supplication prayer example? Dear God, please help me to place my absolute trust in you. Help me to love and trust people, but let my absolute trust be placed in you. Let me trust, pray, and look up to you for all my needs. I understand and believe that you will send me the necessary people to meet my times, my needs at all times. So there we are. It's a prayer of total dependence on God and knowing he will send things or people at the right time to support and help you. So what is the purpose of supplication? Supplication, or asking a request, is in fact not only the spontaneous outpouring of a person's heart before the Lord, but is an expression of his sense of nearness, of his might, of his power, of his confidence and his mercy and grace and blessing. It's about nearness, about, to use a parental term, when you were a kid, you being swept up in the arms of your parents and you feel cocooned and cosseted and safe and loved. You had everything you need. That's what God's hand around you is. What does scripture say about supplication? So Philippians 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, request, with thanksgiving, we've already talked about thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Then what are the benefits of supplication prayer? One of the primary benefits of supplication or asking a request is that it deepens our relationship with God. You become reliant on God. You keep going back to God. You're constantly talking to God. You're not wandering off elsewhere. When we come back before the Lord in prayer, pouring out our hearts and seeking his will, we are drawn into closer and more intimate fellowship with him. We're beside him, or perhaps more accurately, he's beside us the whole time. Your best friend in a human sense. So here we have a few Bible verses which may prompt some prayer, including the Philippians one. So, Lord, as we come to a conclusion on this, just some thoughts on acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. We ask, Lord, that they are more than just words on a page and an occasional thought in our minds. We do ask, Lord, that we will act on acts in our daily life. Amen.